That'll sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to put a few in there. I thought we missed a few nets, and you got to capitalize on your chances. The margin for error when you're playing a team like that is, you know, they defend well. Obviously, I loved our play without the puck tonight, and our commitment to your point, our structure, and guys were in the right place at the right time, and you know, they kind of get a cheeky one there from the point. They sift one through, and they were able to get a tip on it. But yeah, it's kind of that bittersweet. You know, there's no moral victories in hockey and all the cliches and stuff like that. But it was a good hockey game. They're a good team. They don't give you much. And I actually am pretty familiar with their goalie, Legall. He was in Muskegon last year for a little bit. He's a tremendous, you know, very competitive. And Piner was tremendous for us too, both goalies. And then it's just that, you know, you got to find a way. And they were able to find a way. We weren't.
I know you said no moral victories, but given the quality of the team that you lined up across from today, is this one of those where, you know, it's tough to be much prouder of the group in a game where they were not able to get a goal on the board?
Yeah, and I mean, the vibe in the locker room, too, obviously guys are frustrated and disappointed, but for the right reasons. You know, they're looking internally at, like, maybe they had a chance to make a difference in the game, and, you know, it's tough, but at least we'll be able to break down film and you know, chat with them tomorrow, Wednesday, on a lot of the things we did well and maybe some misses. You know, we had some two-on-ones and things like that where we weren't able to capitalize. And we just got to find a way, you know, from a specialty team's standpoint, it feels like, you know, the Knights, our power plays on, our penalty kill struggles, and tonight our penalty kill was good. And that's where you need your power play to take some ownership and step up in those moments. Again, like, you know, you play a high-quality opponent like Everett, you're probably going to need a power play goal and to find a way on an opportunity like that, but at least a step in the right direction.
You know, you talk about your penalty kill. It's almost unrecognizable for me from what it was in the start of the year. It's just terrific. There was one penalty kill. You guys had six challenges at various points on that Everett when they had possession of the puck, and I thought that spoke volumes. Did you think, as we did in the booth, that, you know, pretty much all three lines provided, if not offense, obviously you didn't score any goals, but provided really good chances?
Yeah, I think, and I, you know, like the Chorney Sparks Tomic line had back-to-back shifts in the second period where they were heavy and hard down low and getting pucks to the net. And I, you know, I guess I look at it, there wasn't a line that we didn't feel comfortable putting on the ice, you know, and I even thought, you know, Pura and Morelli and Kale, when they were out there, they were doing their jobs getting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck. So, yeah, it was, I would say it was a lot of really good. We just got to get through that threshold and get to the great side of things.
Coach, I hate to overstate the importance of a 16-year-old player, but obviously Blake Chorney gets back in the lineup tonight, returns from his experience with Hockey Canada. How valuable was it for your team tonight to get a guy like that back in the mix?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, he provides a lot. It's funny, you take him out and you're looking at the lineup, you're like, ah, we're missing something. And so just getting him back, you know, provides us, you know, especially up the middle. And, you know, I think for him, it's funny because he, you know, young kid coming off a gold medal, it's a 3.5 hour time difference. And we were having some internal conversations of, you know, a night like tonight would probably be a good idea to rest him and give him an opportunity to take a day off and reset, because he played so much hockey. I think it was 6 games in 8 days for him. And then it's out in the Maritimes. So with the travel, I think our game tonight started at basically 10:30, 11 out east. So the jet lag, you know, plays an effect on it. But yesterday he was texting me from the airport and then in his layover in Calgary, and he was already campaigning, you know, to my body feels good, I'm ready, like, I don't need a day off, I'll be ready to go. He was just so excited to come back and help the team. And I think that speaks a lot to his character and who he is as a young man, and why he's going to be a big piece of this, why he is a big piece of it, but even, you know, bigger and a leader. Just wanted to play and be with his teammates and try to help.
You know, with most 16-year-olds, you got to kind of match him up properly, get the right face-off situations to put him out. It's not the case with him at all. He provides both defense and offense anytime he's on the ice, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a high-quality two-way player, and you know, he's just got such a high ceiling. So I as good as he has been, I don't even think we're yet to see his, you know, what he's going to be.
Got another game, obviously, coming up at home on Saturday, hosting the Edmonton Oil Kings. With the performance that he put on between the pipes tonight, any chance that we see Kelton Pyne back between the twine for that one? Or
that'll be a conversation we'll have tomorrow on Wednesday.
A Friday decision, and,
yeah,
possibly.
We'll take our. You know, that's the great part. Burke's a tremendous goalie. Kelton's done a really good job too. He's a tremendous goalie, and we needed a. When you play those type of teams, like when we played Med Hat and Prince George, you know, you need your goalie to be your best player at times. And he just, for him tonight, he was just competitive, and he gave us a chance. Second, third opportunities, he was competing, and yeah, he did a really, really good job.
It felt like a really hard-working effort for the entire group, but obviously there's going to be lulls over the course of 60 minutes. And, I thought the exact same thing. There were times where, you know, there was a loose puck in the defensive zone, no panic whatsoever. He just stood tall and made the save, and that's what you want to see from a guy like
for
that.
For sure.
Well, if you take last night or last game in Seattle, he was 5 for 6, if I'm not mistaken, in the game, in the period that he played. He had that with tonight's effort. He's a 9-5-1. You can't ask more than that from a 20-year-old goaltender.
Oh, any goaltender, yeah. Just give us, you know, you think with goalies, if you know, tonight aside, you know, and Everett is, if you look at the analytics and the statistics, they are first or second in almost every major defensive category. So you know you're going to have to work to provide offense, and we weren't able to either capitalize or create enough at times. But I do think for our group and the way we're built, if our goalies are keeping it to three or less, I really like our chances. And so that's just the message. You don't have to win us a game, but just, you know, give us a chance.
You know, we talk about structure, and it's not just in your own zone. It's regaining that structure when you give up pucks in the offensive zone or in the neutral ice area. And I thought, you know, even in the neutral ice area, you already had your structure coming back, and I don't think there was a lot of odd-numbered rushes for the Everett Silvertips tonight.
No, I think they had 1 2-on-1 early. Obviously, the breakaway where both our defensemen changed, which is a no-no, especially in the second period, and Piner made a big save. But, if you look at it, early in the season, we were giving up 7, 8, 9 odd man rushes, and now we're giving up 1, 2, 3 odd man rushes. And so, again, you just can't give freebie opportunities up, and we're doing a better job of it.
Hey, I got no complaints, but I'm going to ask you a question with Cameron Schmidt. Is he becoming a little bit too predictable with shooting from that point that he shoots at?
Yeah, it's something that we're working with him on. I mean, the goalies read it, the D are reading it, the pre-scouts reading it. I would like to see, you know, him be looking for the bumper, be looking for Ryan back, you know, up top. And we'll make some adjustments. And again, too, like for young players, it's just when they have success with something, becomes almost ingrained and habitual. And, you know, he still needs to be a threat to shoot it, but maybe break the habit of forcing it time and time again, because they are reading it at times. So
you're seeing every team for the first time. It's crazy. I think 19 of the first 22 games, you're seeing 19 different opponents.
Yeah.
Let me ask you first from that standpoint, Dominic Kelly. Obviously, I think it's great. He's seeing every player in the league. At least, you know, he's getting good.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at video, et cetera, he's getting to know the league. Not that he doesn't, but I think it's good from a general manager standpoint to see that personally at the game. How has it been for you?
I've enjoyed it. I mean, you get to know the different opponents and how they play and be in different buildings. So, you know, obviously, time-consuming, just prepping and making sure you're getting ready. And I'm seeing him for the first time. And you can watch film and get a general idea and a pretty good feel for what they're going to bring and what style of play they play. And, you know, yeah, when you talk about structure and what do they do in the neutral zone, what do they do in the D zone. But when you're a part of it and experiencing it live, that's when you really get a feel for the style of play. And, you know, playing Tri-City in Seattle down there was very different than when you play, you know, certain teams up here and the style of play. And, you know, the message to our team, in order to, you know, be effective, you got to be able to adapt to the game. You know, you can't just be like, we're a rush team, so let's try. But if you're playing a certain opponent, you got to be able to generate differently.
Well, let me ask you, in those kind of situations, do you have to go to more of a cycle game?
Yeah, I mean, if a team's aren't giving you, one, if they're disciplined, they're not giving you power plays, and they're not giving you opportunities off the rush, you got to be able to create somehow. And I think for us, that's kind of the next frontier for our offense is I think we're dangerous off the rush. you know, when we get open looks, you know, you see the breakaways, the two-on-ones, things like that. But when you're playing an opponent like Everett and they're very structured defensively and they don't give up odd man rushes, you have to be able to create from down low, and you got to get pucks east-west and then low to high, mm-hmm. funnel it to the net. And, you know, if we added in one or two quote-unquote garbage goals a game, like what they got tonight, like they didn't beat us, you know, with anything that was crazy offensively. It was they got three high, which they like doing, and then they sifted one to the net, and we were late getting in the lane, and they got a stick on a puck, and they tipped one in, and we need to get more of those.
It's two tough tests for your team back-to-back. You got the number one team in the West tonight. It's the number one team in the East coming to town on Saturday. Given that we're at about the quarter pole mark of the season, as a coach, do you kind of relish that opportunity to see where you guys stack up against the best of the Dub so far?
Yeah, for sure. You want to play the best opponents and see where you're at. And I do really believe that our group has been able to rise to those challenges. You know, you look at Medicine Hat and PG, and even tonight not getting the result, but like, we've played good hockey against those teams, and so I expect nothing less. We have some time here to prep for Saturday night against Edmonton, and you know, I trust that our guys are going to show up and find a way to get the job done.
I know it's one game at a time, but would you have already looked at what Edmonton does?
Yeah, we have a general idea. Yeah. and that's we got you know, between Wasey and Caden and Galen and Paul, our goalie coach, and myself, we're hockey nerds. So, you know, when you get that downtime on the bus, you're watching other opponents and just other players on the other team and just kind of digging in. And, you know, nowadays with all the different platforms, SportLogic and Instat, SportCode, and, you know, you have all this access to get an understanding, and sometimes it can almost be too much. You can overanalyze and things like that. So it's kind of the balance of, you know, you have to prep and you have to pre-scout and you have to make sure your team's ready and organized for whatever opponent you're going to play, but you can't lose sight of what makes you successful and what your strengths are and sticking to your identity.
Last stupid question. Did you keep your poppy on all night? I can never get it done.
Yeah, I got it done. I got it done.
He's been trying to tell me the secret. I can't. I've 25 years of poppy time here. Look, Nathan's kept his on. I not only does it fall off, I lose it. And so anyway, yeah. Great effort. This sells hockey, as I said, in the, you know, you buy it, you pay for a full seat, and you only use about the front half of it. So
yeah.
That is just something awesome to see. I mean, I hate the old analogy that this early, but if playoff hockey can be much better than that, I'm not so sure. That was terrific. And I think your team took a step forward, to be honest with you, and good luck against Edmonton.
Appreciate it. We'll see you guys Saturday.
Yeah,
take care. Have a good week.
Thank you so much, Coach. There he is, head coach Parker Burgess of the Vancouver Giants, on a night where his team gets shut out 2-0 by the visiting Everett Silvertips. But